So as we press after the at the end of the meeting, I will have the blessing of the throat with the relics of St. Blaise. So here is here in the container is a piece of the bone of St. Blaise, which is we celebrate today. You don't need a candle to do a program. Relics is even better. And then some other relics here are St. Agatha, February the 5th, St. Josephine Fagita, February the 8th, and then also St. Galastica, February the 10th. Okay? So those are the things that we also have a particle of their bones here that's with us tonight. So we are going to a new part. We already talking about the introduction to the Divine Life, part one, part two. Part one about what is devotion is strong charity, and also we have to be purified from sin, affection to sin, and imperfection. That's part one. Part two is about prayer, that we have to have daily prayer, morning prayer, evening prayer, going to mass, meditation, spiritual reading, and prayer during the day, that we do our best to raise our mind from time to time to pray. So that's part two. If you miss the call, if you are new, you know, you can listen to the previous talk online. So you can go to my website, Ricardo will tell you the website, fatheranthonyho.com. So you can listen to that. Our previous meeting are all posted there. So that's why I got like the device here to recall myself. So, and then of course the article on the BC Catholic can be of help too, because it's based on the article. So you get an idea what is coming up. Part three is about the practice of virtues. It's about the practice of virtues. That's mainly about part three. So part three is something like, yeah, you're talking about practice of virtue, it's about patience, about humility, about gentleness, meekness. It's also there's a session on friendship, you know, about how we can become holy by having good friendship, you know. So that's the part that we are going to talk about in this month, next month, and pretty likely will be up to Easter time. So that is our focus up to Easter time. At least up to Easter time will be the part three of introduction. And when we're talking about basically about the virtue that we have to practice, you know, really obvious. If you find yourself have some particular sin, bad habit of vice, you know, of sin, you practice the contrary virtues. That's obvious. So if you are angry all the time, you know, angry, huh? Turning green, huh? Angry. Then you have to really practice, you know, patience, huh? And meekness, right? So it's just practice the contrary virtue, you know, of the vice that you have or the sin that you have, huh? And then another way of picking the virtue to practice is think about my own vocation, you know, my own calling, my own profession, or my own position. You know, what is my state of life required of me? Then I will practice the virtue that is required by my state of life. You know, that will be another thing to think about. And then beside that, you know, if you find that, you know, you don't have some particular vice that is too prominent, you seem to pity well already practicing the virtue that your state of life require of you, then you pick the virtue that is more excellent rather than something that is more showy, rather than the one that is more, you know, showing out to people. Because quite often people tend to pick the virtues that are more manifest, that people can see you doing something. But to grow in holiness, you know, we have to pick the virtue that is more excellent, that is more help us to become more perfect. St. Francis de Sales always preferred those what we call little virtues than the one that is more magnificent, more outward, or more manifest. His favorite picture is Saint Mary Magdalene under the cross. That's his favorite picture. And one time he was at the home of his friend, another bishop. That bishop actually wrote a book. That book is out of print, as far as I know.
How did you get it?
I can get books in different ways, you know. So it's out of print, but I think it's an excellent book. It's a favorite book of Bishop Monroe, actually, because I know that it's favorite book, that's why I try to get after that book, you know, from second-hand bookstore, and then I got it. And then actually, now when I'm writing article for the Gifted Catholic, I find that I can get sometimes even more information from that book than from the Introduction to the Devout Life, you know. So that book is called The Spirit of Francis de Sales, basically. That The Spirit of Francis de Sales is written by a bishop who is a friend of St. Francis de Sales. So it was in that book, it was mentioned that when Francis de Sales was visiting that bishop home, you know, he saw that beautiful picture, which is his favorite, you know, Mary Magdalene under the cross. And then he talking about, you know, there are so many virtues at the foot of the cross. You know, it's like, don't, you're at the foot of the cross, you know, sitting on the ground, at the foot of the cross. And then the bishop asked Francis de Sales, what are those virtues under the cross, at the foot of the cross? So, and he mentioned, it's like, and he gave a whole list, humility, patience, gentleness, kindness, forbearance, calmness, good temper, heartiness, pity, ready forgiveness, simplicity, frankness, and so on. So those are the virtues that is fed by the dune of heaven, though unseen, they shed forth sweet and precious odor. So it's this little virtues at the foot of the cross. And then he asked, you know, then what are the virtues at the top, on the top of the cross? And he would be saying something like, you know, oh, so many too, you know, and provided they are formed by in the spirit of love, so like prudence, justice, magnificence, liberality, almsgiving, strength, bodily modifications, obedience, contemplation, perseverance, contempt of wealth, and honor. And so those are the bigger things that we can do, you know. But he say that, you know, people quite often more anxious after those bigger virtues because they are more obvious, you know. You know, I want to show myself to be a contempt of wealth, or I want to show myself strong, unshakable, you know, really strong. I want to show myself to be a contemplative soul, you know, always praying all day, you know. It just want to be look big, you know. But he find that, you know, he really prefer the smaller virtue, because the smaller virtue, they have much more opportunity to practice them. The big virtues, you don't have that opportunity every single day, but the smaller virtues, you can practice that every single day. And then also the bigger virtues, quite often, there's always the danger of feeding your vain glory. You know, you might seek after those things for vainglory. In that way, you spoil the value of the good work. So for him, he found that the small virtues are much more preferable, except charity. Except charity. You know, charity is a big virtue, but except that one, because that's that basically is the key of all virtue. He preferred the little virtues, the more day-to-day virtue, than the big one. Because that's the one that we have to practice every single day. And then, also in that book, there's another little interesting thing about St. Francis de Sales, is that his favorite saying, or his favorite motto, was from an ancient king. The ancient king said, make haste slowly. Am I correct? Yeah, make haste slowly. That means, you know, quite often people are so eager, too eager in their spiritual life, and if we are too eager, then it can have the opposite effect. So he really cautioned people against the, you know, thinking that, you know, perfection is to be found in a multiplicity of religious exercise. So thinking I have to do a lot of things here and there, and that I can become holy. But he said that, you know, it is far better to do a few things well than to undertake many good works and leave them half done. And he also said, it is not by the multiplicity of things we do that we attain perfection, but by the perfection and purity of intention with which we do them. So if we do things, you know, not as many, but we do them well, then we can become holy easier than we do many, many things, but always do them not so well, or always in a hurry. So, but he explained, what do I mean by doing a good work perfectly? Of course, I mean good works performed in a state of grace, that we must be in sanctifying grace, no mortal sin. As otherwise, they would not only be imperfect, but of no value as regards eternity. Well, such action must be performed first with great fervor, second with great purposefulness, and thirdly with great purity of intention. It is not true, then, that one such action is far better than many done first coldly, second resolvedly, and third without purity of intention. So basically, to have our action to be really done perfectly, that we should have that purity of intention, you know, doing that for God, for the good of souls, with fervor, you know, and also with purposefulness, you know, really resolve to do the thing, not to give up. So, yes. Just like Lorraine, you know, purposefulness. I can pick that up, the big bag, even though I'm a small woman. I can pick up the big bag, no problem. Superhero, you know. So, you know, we do things with purity of intention, with purposefulness, and also with great fervor. And remember, in the beginning of the year, I give that spiritual survey for you to assess your own spiritual life. That book also mentioned about, that spiritual book also mentioned about, because the priest was a Confucian priest and he had really many experience with seeing people's spiritual life. And then he gave a really concrete example. There was a man, when he became serious about the faith, he took on so too many spiritual exercises right at the beginning. You know, he go to mass every day, of course, it's good, but he also, like, he would like spend an hour at least before the Blessed Sacrament. He would pray many hours per day, and then he would be living such a poor life that he would not go to a no movie for months, and then no entertainment at all. And so living like a life that is really take on a lot, too many things at the beginning. So at the end, he wasn't able to continue those practices except going to daily mass. All the other he gave up. So the thing was that, you know, basically he was really fervent at one point, but and then fell into a bit lukewarm. But basically, if he start a bit slower, you know, more prudent, don't take on so many things at the beginning, he would be done much better in the long run, you know. So that's just one example that what they can be mean by make haste slowly by Francis de Sales. So in that spiritual book, Man, Life of Man with God, I think is the title of the book, is say that if a person is like in the more start to become more serious about the spiritual life, one of the things that should be done is that to really seriously planning a schedule for the day. How am I going to pray? And a good time to do that, of course, can be at retreat, you know, but of course, if you spend a bit quiet moment to think about that, your daily life, every one of us can plan a daily schedule for our spiritual exercise. And then he mentioned that spiritual exercise can be something like, you know, it's simple. You know, basically, a rule of life or a schedule would be something like, if you can go to weekday mass, if you can, you know, the day that you can go, if you can go. And then have a simple, it can be really quite brief, morning, evening prayer. That's another thing. And then have some time for mental prayer, you know, 10, 15 minutes, okay? And then have some time for spiritual reading. And then have some time for the rosary. Pray the rosary every day. And of course, if you want to add the divine mercy, that's also good too. And then if you can, you can also pay a visit to the Blessed Sacrament. Sometimes, if you are depending on where you live, sometimes when you're in the area, if there's no church open, then of course it would be difficult to do that. But you know, but that would be, if you're thinking about that, you know, beside the Mass, you know, if you, the rest of the spiritual exercise would take about an hour or hour and a half, you know, or hour 15 minutes. So if you don't do that all at once, you do that little bit by little bit, you know, during the day. So it's something good to start with. Some people, they can add on as they move in their spiritual life. But it's something good that, you know, if you find that you haven't been praying in a consistent way, a good thing to do is to really think about a daily plan of spiritual life. It's something that you don't have to take on too many things, but I think those two elements are there, and they are simple. And they are something that will not be too many, but it's something that can be done. Makes sense?
Mm-hmm.
Makes sense?
Mm-hmm.
Yes?
And the television mass, can we use this as a sort of spiritual?
It can be.
It can be.
And then I find that, you know, when I sometimes when I was able to, you know, at people's home, when I see EWT and Mass, I find that it's pretty prayerful, you know, the Mass of the EWTN. So I personally like that, you know. Now, and then St. Francis himself moved on to talking about the different individual virtues. And he start with patience. He start with patience.
Father Hughes always saying, I'm always praying for
patience.
Of
course, with you, that's a must.
No, I find it for peace. I think they have to pray for them.
Yeah. If you have one Julie, you need patience. You have more people like Julie. Wow, the patience is so much, right? Yeah. Remember what I said to you? Whoever can live with you is a saint. That's my joke for her from 2008 on already. when we go to work few days together, so I know her, you know, to know to be with Julie is can you be with Julie is a saint. Okay. Anyhow. Recently in the parish, you know, there was a couple that they have their 50th wedding anniversary. In my parish. So one time after one mass, I read to the couple, I said, I get you. So I gave them the papal blessing that we asked for from the Pope. And then I said to the man, you are such a holy man, you know, you put up with prayer for so many years.
You sure it's not the other way around?
And then we talk about like 50 years, and then I thought it's for some reason we talk about anniversary, you know, thinking wishing you 50 more years, and then I say, you know, Padre Pio, you know, when they celebrate his stigmata for 50th anniversary, somebody wish him, you know, I wish you another 50 years of stigmata, and Padre Pio would say, what have I done to you? and then the wife was saying, you know, the stigmata, you know, it's hard to bear, you know, but it's the gift from God. And then I look at the man, yeah, it's hard to bear, but it's a gift from God. And then the wife said, you know, his father who is so honest, you know. I hope he's not going to tease us from the pulpit. And I say, no, pulpit is too holy to do that. It's holy for the holy. We only do that at the back of the church, not on the pulpit. Anyhow, take up your cross. Father himself, he wrote, kiss frequently the crosses which the Lord sent you, and with all your heart without regarding of what sort they may be. You know, because sometimes we can carry a cross that is a bit light. sometimes it can be a more heavy cross. But for St. Francis, you know, the merit is not consist in the heaviness of the cross, but in the manner that you carry with patience, you know. Because sometimes people, a heavy cross is a more obvious cross. Usually you got the sympathy from other people. You know, people know that you're carrying a heavy cross. A small cross is more hidden. And oftentimes it's there, you don't always talk about that. You know, there are some people, they are exception, they always talk about their cross, even though they're small, you know, they just complain all the time. But usually for regular person, those small crosses is unknown to other people. You know that yourself, you don't talk about that much. You talk about that, you will be complaining every single day. So that's why to carry those cross oftentimes demand much more patience, because it's happened all the time and it's there. And then he always said that people always want to seek something that's more manifest, you know, outwardly. You know, even the cross, people might want to have cross that is more people can see and sympathize with you. But if you can carry the cross, you know, those hidden ones, those small ones, you know, with really great patience, you know, those many crosses of big patience can also gain a lot of merit, you know, just when he's talking about the little virtues and the big virtues, you know. So we shouldn't pick and choose, but take whatever God sent to us, the cross. I think Teresa of Avila said, observe that we gain more in a single day by trials which come to us from God and our neighbor than we would in 10 years by penance and other exercises which we take up of ourselves. So if one day we submit to the will of God and carry our cross, we gain more than many, many by doing our own will. You know, I don't call to the village. I don't think I'm called to the religious life, you know. But actually, there was a story about, you know, a religious being soon, I forgot the exact detail of the story, but a religious, he attained higher degree of glory in heaven than St. Anthony the Abbot. You know, St. Anthony the Abbot is a great, he's a famous saint, right? But that humble religious obtained more glory in heaven than St. Anthony the Abbot, because St. Anthony the Abbot was living by himself, right? So if you're by yourself, you have a lot of chance that you might have to do it according to your own will. But a religious, you know, in the monastery, in the community, he always obey. So he's not doing his own will, he's doing the will of God that way. So a humble religious can attain higher glory than significant other, you know. So, good other religious like that.
Yeah.
So you'll be more holy than I am. So yeah, God willing. So that obedience is something that really can help people to attain that high degree of holiness. Now, thinking about patience, St. Francis de Sales was really, really patient as a young priest. I think I told you that story before. You know, as a young priest, he volunteered to work in a region in France that had they are mainly Calvinists. No, not Catholic.
That's a region.
60,000 people in the town, Calvinists, you know. And then he was working there, you know, want to work for the conversion. For 3 years, he hadn't got a single convert for 3 years.
Wow.
You know, 3 years, think about that. I'm only my second year in Crofton right now, you know. And I spent 3 years at St. Patrick, you know.
Yeah.
Imagine 3 years, not a single convert. Pretty tough. Wow. Pretty tough. Not a single person he was able to convert. And then people won't listen to him, you know. And so nobody would welcome him to their home. And sometimes there would be wild animals in the forest, and he had to really to escape. He had to climb up the tree and sleep there.
That's what Saint Anthony did. Talk to the fish.
No, no. Now, Francis is still saying, don't have the gift to talk to animals, so, okay? Now, if you have wolves around, I don't think you just go there and talk to them, right? I think you would run away. So he ran away, he climbed the tree. It was so cold that he was almost frozen dead, you know. So it was brutal, you know. And at first it was the cousin with him doing that mission, and then eventually his cousin quit, you know, because it's just 3 years, not a single convert. but he was unusually patient. So he is today, he is a patient for journalists, you know, of writers, because, you know, what he did was that people won't listen to his sermon, he wrote his sermon, and he used his writing to copy them, those photocopy machine, right, handwritten, all the sermon, and he put them into their door, house by house. That's how he evangelized. So the book called The Catholic Controversy is a collection of those sermons. That's the book. You know, The Catholic Controversy is the book of the collection of the sermon of Francis de Sales. He did that, but door by door. And then but people still won't talk to him. You know, even though they might be reading already, they didn't talk to him because they were afraid. So what did he do? He played with the children. The little one, he played with the children. And then the parents, seeing how he was so kind and good to the children, they start to like him. And they start to talk to him a bit. Mm-hmm. Eventually, talking a bit more, he was able to get some in to listen to his preaching. And then he preached so well that the next time he preached, the crowd got bigger. Yeah. And then the next time the crowd got bigger. And then become a bigger crowd, and then they listen, and then they convert. Mm-hmm. By the time he left, 40,000 became Catholic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but he was unusually patient. You know, first 3 years, not a single one. Yeah. Took him a long time to do it, mm-hmm. but eventually he was successful because he was so patient. Mm-hmm. Maybe a bit stubborn too. Mm-hmm. There's a good stubbornness that he had. So, St. Francis de Sales, you know, he wrote about patience and he was really patient. And then, of course, it's talking about the value of suffering. You know, we have to admit suffering is always a mystery. You know, there's a spiritual writer, he wrote that, you know, if we let Jesus to be in charge, of course, we know that life is going to have cross. Life is going to a cross. There was a desert father who said that, you know, as long as you got your body with you, you always have a cross. You know, your body is your cross. You know, it's always suffering. But there's also a spiritual writer, he pointed out that quite often those people who make the avoidance of suffering the center of their life, they are the ones that often would face suffering even harder, you know. Put it another way, just flip that around and put it another way. Quite often people who purposely seek for happiness, they don't find happiness, but they find disappointment. Crystal, remember that? But I taught you in the very preparation class, we talked about that in the very preparation class, when usually I told that to a couple when they got married, you know, people who purposely seek for happiness, They don't find it, but they find disappointment quite a lot of time. So people who make the avoidance of suffering at the center of their life, quite often they are the ones that suffer the most. So but we know if our attitude is that of trust, you know, trust in Jesus, you know, Jesus knows way better than we do how much we can take. And he's used and he's gentle. So we cannot avoid suffering altogether. St. Vincent de Paul said, if we could but know what a precious treasure lies concealed in infirmities, we would receive them with as much joy as we would the greatest benefits, and would bear them without complaint or any sign of annoyance. And then, during a mystical experience, this story I told that many, many times, is one of my favorite. St. Rose of Lima saw a scales, you know, one side suffering, the other side grace, and then she saw Jesus first distribute suffering to people, and different proportions, some more, some less. St. Rose herself got a huge portion of suffering, and then after that, Jesus distributed the graces, and he distributed the grace in proportion to the suffering. The person who got more suffering got more graces, less suffering, less grace. And then after that, our Lord said, affliction is always accompanied by grace. Grace is proportionate to suffering. The measure of my gift is increased with the measure of trials. The cross is the true and only road that leads souls to heaven. And then St. Rose also wrote that, you know, if we know how much the value in suffering, people say people would just willing to give up wealth and whatever they have to exchange like trials and sickness and suffering, you know. So I don't think it will go that far, but I know at least when you're suffering, don't complain bitterly. And then, so during her long sickness, which eventually led to her death, St. Rose prayed, "Lord, increase my sufferings, and with them increase your love in my heart." Now, St. Vincent Ferry, who is a Dominican saint who really, really liked to preach on the four last things, like heaven, hell, judgment, and purgatory, he said that the Lord sent us tribulation and infirmities to give us the means of paying the immense debt we have contracted with him. Therefore, those who have good sense receive them joyfully, for they think more of the good which they may derive from them than of the pain which they experience on account of them. The few days before Ash Wednesday, people usually really wild partying. And so some of the saints, they will make reparation on those few days for the many sins committed. Saint Gertrude the Great, you know, have that desire to make reparation. And she wants to know what is the best way to make reparation for sins. And Jesus told her, "My daughter, you will never be able to do me a greater service at any time than bearing patiently in honor of my passion whatever tribulation may come to you, whether it be interior or exterior, always forcing yourself to do all those things that are most contrary to your desires." So that was she was told, you know, the best way to make reparation, the greatest service, you know, we can always render is to bore our trials patiently, you know, take up the cross every day. So that's the about patience. Now, of course, as mentioned that, you know, quantifying we can find the little crosses more often than the big one. So I think we can always, you know, have that desire to take up those small crosses every day. You know, it can come in many different ways. You know, small crosses can come in many, many different ways. And I think to do that, you know, it will be a good way to grow in holiness, to grow in virtue, because those small crosses give us plenty opportunity to practice all those little common virtues I mentioned earlier. You know, big crosses, hopefully, you know, of course, it depends on the will of God, that happen too often, you know, but the small cross is always around, so it's something that we can resolve to do it well. I hope I do have enough copy. Where's my bag? Those paper. Okay. I give you the spiritual survey in the beginning of this year, and this is another New Year thing, which I hope it will be of interest. Okay, you can pass that on, and hope there's enough copy for everybody. Now, St. John Bosco, as you know, had really a lot of prophetic gifts. Okay, doing in the Legion of Mary, the commission, heard that story already. And then Avi may want a copy because when I told the story, I translated directly from the Chinese text. This is the English translation, which is more accurate translation. Yeah. So anyhow, St. John Bosco has a really great spiritual gift. And so at the end of the year 1861, you know, they have a custom, you know, at the night time, he would give a little teaching to all the people, all the boarding school students, before they go to bed. And so in the year 1861, he said, you know, 1862 January, in the beginning of the year, he got something for each of the students. And that is a message from Our Lady for each of the students. And so St. John Bosco says, don't ask me how I got those messages. You know, it would embarrass me. You know, don't ask me how I got the message. You know, he said that, you know, the message is on the registry, you know, in the book with the name, and then beside each of the names, there is a message for each of the students and also each of the staff member of the school. You know, he said the handwriting is mine, but the message is from Our Lady, and don't ask me how, because it will put me into embarrassment. And then, so because there are so many of you, there are 573 people in the whole school, including the priest and the brother and the student. The priest and the brother come first, and then later on will be all the students. So they went to John Bosco's room and they got their message. When they got their message, you know, John Bosco said to the student, you know, you can do whatever you want with the message, but make sure I ask you to keep them well, you know, to preserve that well, because I have no copy, you know, and I don't even know who get what. And you can share that with other people, you can keep that yourself, you can toy to pieces, but just don't laugh at it, because it's from Our Lady. So when the student, they got the message, it's actually quite a reaction. Some of them, they cry. Some of them, they treasure the message. And a lot of them, they went to confession. And then, so some of the students, they were more naughty students, they now know it's not a joke, it's serious. It's really something that, you know, right to the heart of the people that got the message. So some of them, they didn't want to get the message, but after the encouragement of John Bosco, they came to get it. But all except 13, 13 of them didn't, at the end, didn't pick up the message. So those messages, because of the reaction among the students, a Salesian brother, he did his best to collect those messages so that it can be preserved for the later generations. Only 40-some people willing to share the message, later on four more willing to share, plus the 13 who later pick up the message, then we got 50-some message that is available on these two, two sides of the paper. So, some of them will be, you know, they are just one sentence, really simple, you know, for example, practice and promote the virtue of humility, sanctify your conversations, patient, but charity too and fervor. And then, you know, and something they say, you cannot get to heaven by having a good time, you know. Another would say, more deeds, less words. You know, you have a few dangerous bosom friends. Confide more in me than in them. Take care not to turn back. Pray better. Work more for heaven. You will succeed in your studies. And then, you know, it basically talking about heaven is not for those who are lazy. You know, why do you waste so much time? And then, you know, another one is that the world is filling your heart with clay. As none of your heart is full of clay, it will have no room for true love of God. And then later on, four more added, you know, do not expect to become a saint at one stroke. Every day one needs to take another step toward heaven. And then at the other side, you got 13 those messages that never got picked up. You know, actually, even the ones got picked up, some of them are pretty right to the point, you know, some pretty brutally honest. You know, your deeds are a thorn in my heart. You are the devil's slave, but you still have time. You are small, but your malice is big. Hurry to mend your ways. And then of the one that never got picked up, some of them will be something like, you know, your carelessness renders all your efforts ineffective. Don't be idle. Study and pray. In the 11, idleness and gluttony cause me worry over you. Mend your ways. Pray better. You are much concerned about your body, hardly about your soul. Death draws near. Get ready. Meditate more on things eternal. Be more steady in your piety. Why do you so seldom have recourse to me? And then one of the priests also wrote that, you know, one student, he got the message, resolutionary ideas would not lead you to heaven. Those words are quite prophetic, because the student who got that message eventually become the spokesman of the revolutionaries people in Switzerland, and then he was killed in the arms of revolutionaries after the age of only just half the age of 30 without receiving the sacraments. So those are the message that people got from Our Lady through John Bosco. So if you read through those messages, you got a sense of what Our Lady concerned about the student under the care of John Bosco. And then you might also ask yourself a question, if I got a message, what might that be? So that's my Chinese New Year gift for you.